Well, guys, as you know, we've talked about this a lot. These, you know, bad signatures, forgeries, and fraud on these petition signatures. And, you know, it seems to be, you know, we heard it once, maybe twice during the governor's race. But now in these latest races, we're hearing it even more, that people are forging and you know, frauding with these petition signatures.
And there's no shortage of accountability here. I mean, first and foremost, it's up to the candidate. And I love the fact that Adam Ollier, who was one of the who was running against Sri Tanadar, said, hey, this is on me. In the end, this is my responsibility.
Exactly.
Yet at the same time, it seems like when you do outsource this function, that more and more often, these are really insidious people that have no intention of doing the work. They just want
the money.
It was not the intention of this whole idea of getting signatures. You were supposed to get it yourself.
Well, that's how it used to
be. Well, because it shows you're serious. It shows your due diligence, right? It is the first step to showing that you're worthy of the office.
Absolutely.
How many candidates have failed the first step?
And, you know, amid these concerns of fraud and forgery plaguing Michigan's petition signature gathering process during recent election cycles, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson is pushing for comprehensive review and modernization of the state's ballot access laws and policies. And she emphasizes the necessity for harsher penalties to deter fraudulent activities, while also advocating for mechanisms to hold bad actors within the signature collection industry accountable. Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson joins us now on the JR Morning Live Line. Madam Secretary, good morning.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Elaborate, if you could, on the specific reforms you're proposing and how they aim to address these issues of this these fraudulent petition signatures.
Well, when you see this time and time again, particularly the uptick in 2022, where we saw five candidates for governor disqualified due to fraudulent signatures, and now this cycle we've seen eight congressional candidates disqualified for insufficient or fraudulent signatures, clearly that's a sign that there's an issue or a problem with the policy, and we have failed to really think about how to connect the intent behind these ballot access requirements, which I think, as you all were saying, to affirm the credibility of the candidate, and that it's kind of become this industry that has been open to fraud and all these other types of malfeasances that needs to be curtailed. So we're conducting in partnership with the State Board of Canvassers as well, that is also asked to look into this, a review of what other states are doing and what we could do better to see how to ensure our signature gathering process, if we are going to require signatures to get on the ballot for candidates, and that be the only way, how we protect against fraudulent activity and seek better accountability, but also discover other better ways to ensure credible candidates can appear on the ballot.
And I believe you've asked in the past, I mean, is paper and signatures and pen the way to do it in this day and age?
Yeah. Well, you know, Arizona and New Mexico allow eligible voters to sign candidate nominating petitions through an online platform. And so we want to look into that and see what other technologies might be available to that we don't want to sacrifice security, but we want to see if we can use technology to improve the process and also, again, keep the process secure from any type of manipulation through artificial intelligence or any other types of incursions.
Are you thinking about lowering the bar? You said a moment there, if we continue forward with petition signature gathering, are you thinking about getting rid of the system entirely or reforming it?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to hold signature collection companies accountable for making false statements or having paid circulators that are clearly violating the law. And so as an immediate next step, we are working with State Senator Jeremy Moss to prepare some legislation that would be modeled on Oregon's laws that allow voters to, for example, remove their signature from a ballot initiative if there's any example of fraud or that type of thing. So that's one thing we're looking at. We're also working with State Rep Cernoglu, who chairs the Ethics and Elections Committee in the House, to update the numbers or review how numbers are set to see if there should be an alternative view like there are for State House and State Senate candidates and enable them to pay a fee to get on the ballot.
You know, we were talking earlier about Apple and AI. How do you envision AI being integrated into the ballot process here in Michigan?
Well, two ways. One, you know, and the State Board of Canvassers has asked us to look into this. Can artificial intelligence be used to review signature petitions for fraud? They can perhaps catch things that the naked eye cannot in terms of patterns or problems. Of course, we don't want false positives to occur from the use of technology alleging fraud when there hasn't been any. So we want to explore that use of technology. We know some private firms have used it, and that's one thing we're looking at with AI. But of course, we're also concerned about the particular manipulation of AI to create a false signature form writ large, and how that could be used to create fraud in the process. I think the bottom line is we just need to ensure that candidates on both sides of the aisle who are following the rules and should be on the ballot have access to the ballot. And for too often, we're seeing viable, credible candidates on both sides of the aisle from multiple offices get tangled up by these external factors and fraud that is tangential but not directly connected to them.
Well,
and you know that shouldn't stop voters from being able to weigh in on their candidacy.
Well, maybe they are good candidates, but they're not very good at, you know, administering their own affairs. I mean, to some degree, doesn't this weed out the folks that don't dot the I's and cross the T's?
That's that's certainly an argument as well. I think as we look more into, yes, I mean, certainly this, I think you were mentioning earlier, this is an indicator of how someone may be, and I think in many ways, how someone is as a candidate is an indication of how they're going to govern or be in office. So voters should take all of that into consideration. The question is, should it ultimately lead to someone not being on the ballot if an external company lies to them and defrauds them? But certainly there needs to be some responsibility on the campaigns as well, especially if they're hiring someone to collect signatures who has a track record or a history of fraud.
So this is in the info gathering stage of what to do next?
I hope to see some legislation introduced over the next few months, particularly on increasing penalties. We're also being very methodical about looking at what other states are doing and seeing if they've reached other pitfalls with their different approaches, like I was mentioning with Arizona and New Mexico, so that we can understand what's the best fit for Michigan. But
you know,
but this is moving forward this year.
If I'm hiring a plumber, I can go to Yelp and I can see all the warts there in the reviews. Is there any place that the candidate can go and find out where the reputable people are that do the signature gathering? Is there a licensing and regulation component here so that someone is looking over their shoulder and punishing those that are doing bad work, or at least letting people know about them?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the things we're looking into, whether or not these companies can be both licensed, but also if there's a central repository for complaints, as there are for other companies that go through the licensing process, so that there can be some clarity before people hire a company that has a history of bad actions, so that people know who to stay clear from, who they can trust.
Madam Secretary, I just got to say before I let you go that I had a very pleasant experience in the Secretary of State's office. My son went in. He had made an appointment. He had lost his license. He had to get a replacement. He made an appointment, and we got there on time, and he was in and out in about 10 minutes. And I remember the days where you almost had to take the day off.
to go to your employer.
To go to the Secretary
of State. I have an appointment just this morning, so I'll report back to you.
Okay, good. I hope you have a good experience. That's our goal. But I get statewide data every Monday to just ensure that our numbers continue to be 10 minutes or less in and out. So I'm glad you had a good experience.
Yes.
And Lloyd and Jamie, I hope you have one too.
Thank you.
Yelped on an hourly basis, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And our Google ratings and our Yelp ratings, we encourage people to provide feedback every way possible, and our ratings have gone up. We're now at a 4.5. We used to be at 2 when I took office. Now we're 4.5 out of 5 stars. So, you know, that's what government should be. We should be delivering good services to all our citizens.
Great job. Jocelyn Benson, Secretary of State, thank you so much for being here this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. And coming up, is your house overvalued? Well, some new research indicates it could be. We'll talk about it at 8:49.